It was 1977, and the latest word from Britain, which was still reeling under the impact of the punks, was that there was a mod revival. This must have been a relief to the people who thought that punk's anarchy was a threat, and it was a definite boon for the kids on both sides of the Atlantic who'd missed being mods the first time around. But it must have confused those old enough to remember the first wave, because when it started out, at least, mod wasn't a musical movement. Still, to the extent Americans know about mods, they know it through rock and roll. But at first, mod was just a style, an attitude. According to British pop historian George Melly, mods began to appear in London in early 1962, a very small group of young working-class boys who formed a small, totally committed little mutual admiration society totally devoted to clothes. Melly went on to say that it was not so much overt homosexuality as narcissistic. Girls were irrelevant. The little mods used each other as looking glasses. They were as cool as ice cubes. But because they were cool, they attracted all sorts of kids who saw in mod a secret society they could buy into. John Stephen, a tailor on an obscure short street in Soho called Carnaby Street, had some rather avant-garde ideas about men's clothes, which he'd sell off the rack or do up for you personally. Since Carnaby Street was in Soho, it had lots of dank cellars for rent, and soon the mods had their own clubs.
Ah, earthquake, child, earthquake, shaking Orange Street, this music will beat. Sure, let go, you see, you're tired, and you want pop. Look how your face look like one of them old Jewish boss. You're not hearing your spear in your front wheel puncture. You see, Orange Street is the music street. And that's the street that sells the beat.
Blue Beat, a Jamaican music imported for homesick immigrants in London, was one of the preferred soundtracks for mods because you wouldn't sweat up your suit dancing to it. Anyway, you might have to have it altered to meet next week's fashion dictates. But another preferred mod recreation was taking diet pills, amphetamines, and that required speedier music provided by some people who dressed almost as well as the mods themselves.
What's the matter with you, baby? What's the matter? What did I do wrong? Do you really want to know?
I want to know.
What's the matter with you, baby?
You know that you've done me.
Pamela Motown, as it was known in England, was the first American black pop music generally available there because of Motown's deal with London Records, and the mods made it their own. Naturally, it wasn't long before an entrepreneur got the idea that the mods should have their own bands, never mind that none of them had any inclination in that direction. A businessman in his 40s named Helmut Gordon had been introduced to a band in need of a backer, and their lead singer was sort of a mod. Gordon gave them a name, the High Numbers, helped them adapt a song they were already performing so it contained a mod buzzword, I'm the face, meaning I'm the guy others copy, and sent them into the studio. The band hated it, and so did the mods. It didn't sell because, as the band feared, people knew it was a rewrite of Slim Harpo's Got Love If You Want It. But they liked the idea of being the mods' band, so they wrote an original mod anthem for their next record.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
The stutter imitated a guy stoned on pills, and the sentiments were mod all right, but they were also universal enough that soon the Who, as they now called themselves, could forget about being mods and start being stars. Anyway, by the time My Generation came out, the mods were evolving into hippies. Carnaby Street was a tourist attraction, girl mods like Twiggy appeared, and there were even other mod rock and roll singers.
Listen, everybody, especially you girls.
Young Rod Stewart made his name as the Steam Packets' mod fashion plate. But by 1965, when that record was made, mod was uncool enough that it was only fit for derision at the hands of the master, Ray Davies.
seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town, eagerly pursuing all the latest fads and trends, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion.
As usual with revivals, the new mods were modder than the old ones, and although they made some fine music with the Jam and the Two-Tone groups, they disappeared quicker. Oh well, this is the modern world.